The Rachel Abbott feature has become legendary in terms of Southside broadcasting. Literally, she's become an absolute diamond when she's been contributing on the Saturday audio. And we felt that after years of being produced by Rachel, having her contacts put through, focusing on the University of Westminster, going down to on broadcast, only to find she wasn't there that day, missing out on so many other areas, etc. It was time to finally at least get a face-to-face. So, although this is audio in terms of the online stuff, Rachel, you're looking fabulous. It's good to see you after, as I said, almost half a decade.
I know, crazy. You too. How
Well,
are
there you
you?
go. Yeah, it's been a long day. You are the 13th interviewee that I've actually worked through, and there must have been somebody on 13 that sort of worked our way through that. We've been very much pushing for the Newark Book Festival, which of course launches online next week. So you can sign up and do all sorts of things with respect to the contributors who are doing that. And then we've also got a little bit of musical background with Nick Elliott, who's a rock star music photographer who
Wow.
is a regular contributor. And also the first time Tony Waddington, who produced produced tracks which were long before your time. You may have heard of the Rubettes, Sugar Baby Love.
I
No.
probably recognize it. No,
Anyway.
if it was played, I might recognize it.
Yeah, that's the one thing with these Zoom things. We are basically speech only. So the notion of me going to the desk to one side and doing some audio magic, it's not going to happen. So what have you been doing? How has the broadband been setting up? Because I think when last we spoke, you were having one or two challenges and you said, but some people in the street have been without broadband for over a month.
Yeah, we got it back. I think the Sunday, I think the following day. Yeah, it was the Sunday. I spoke to BT Openreach in the end and they sent someone around. So that was good. It took a lot of stress off my shoulders.
Yeah, I mean
In
the
lockdown, it means a lot to have communication, doesn't it?
Well, this could be the whole new area in which we're heading off in all sorts of ways. Now, I've got to ask the question because when there are special companions who allow their masters and mistresses to actually stay with them, where is Bean at present?
I'll get it one sec.
Oh, wow. Rachel's now headed off to actually get the wonderful Bean. And whoa, Bean, whoa. Excellent. I mean, I could only respond with our station mascot Spike, but you know he's very happy to see Bean and
Hi,
works with that. Exactly.
Spike. Spike's like, is it a koala?
Hedgehog, but it's okay.
Hedgehog. I see it now.
Yeah, it's all there. Once you see it, Bean is obviously looking, thinking, "What on earth is going on?" Never mind, she's doing
Little
fine from that
chocolate
point of view.
dachshund, if anyone's interested.
Yeah, you see, always thinking, Rachel. You realise that we're in vision, but there are people who are listening to this who think, what, etc. And you're quite right.
Yeah.
A chocolate dachshund with only one, no, three legs. Only
Three
one leg. Yes,
legs.
it's got three legs. It's
She's
very
missing a
confusing.
leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you been? I mean, we've talked about how you've been coping with lockdown and the likes of that. Today, of course, it's July the 4th when the United States of America give thanks for kicking out the British people. I don't know why, but still. But it is also that line where people were very concerned about people going to go crazy. I mean, have you dared poke your nose out of the door, or is it a case of no, I'm just not going to go?
I've been for dog walks, but that's about it. Even today, my friend was like, "Have you booked your hair appointment?" I'm like, "Nope." "Are you into the pub?" "Nope." Not just.
Yeah, I think
And
that's very much.
there's a transition period that I think everyone is entitled to have, and also the figures aren't low. Alex is wearing a face mask now.
That's the critical thing. This is the way I actually go to the Southside studio because, of course, it's based at James Cook University Hospital. So I have to go in, wear face mask, go out, etc. It's all very
I
good.
wear a face mask everywhere outside.
Yeah.
I think you just have to, I think, as long as in the safest way, get through lockdown in your own way that you feel safe. And that's what I've been doing.
Dr. Hilary Jones, who was with us yesterday, and you can actually listen to Hilary chatting on merrily because
I
we posted it
will.
online yesterday. Exactly. Because I think you've worked with him, haven't you? I'm sure he's done stuff
Yeah,
with On
a
Broadcast.
few times.
Yeah,
And then
exactly.
once I had a bad back. Or it was sore, and he cracked it for me.
See, this is great. You have taken Hillary's record away from him, tragically, Rachel. Up until this afternoon, Hillary was probably the most challenged when it came to getting us together via Zoom. But today, you've beaten his record because entering the wrong password, whoa, exactly, or a different password.
To be
But
fair, I
okay,
was pretty
that's good.
tired.
Yeah. Would you like, yes, put Bean down, because otherwise she's going to get concerned and she's going to think, look, am I just a canine who's on show, just sort of shown in front of a computer-based thing when you feel the needs to show me off, for goodness sakes.
She's just shaped her fur like, ugh.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Are you getting me out of bed?
I mean, two words, Rachel. Image rights, okay? Remember, Bean will be after those image rights before you know where you go. So it's well worth sort of sorting from that. Now, is this the area that you produce all your wonderment from tech women, from women in tech, from tech that and party? No, that's not right.
The leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
is it, this is it, exactly. Which presumably, when you were a student at Westminster, really was beyond your wildest dreams, I would have thought, really. I mean, I'm talking about the technology, not the abilities that you actually have, because, and do you think we're going to be in a situation where companies like On Broadcast, like marketeers, like any of the sort of areas that are actually there, this is going to become much more the norm? I mean, it's interesting, Amy Stone, who I think was in the Pandora, Amy, who's at
On Broadcast. She was there when I worked there. Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah. Well, Amy actually, she coordinated our first Zoom interview, which we did on the folk from the Alzheimer's Society and areas for that. She was wearing the mask. No, actually, I'm correct myself there. It was Iona Bain, Sol, who basically sort of advises young people on how to actually manage their finances. I was actually giving advice on frozen foods. She thought it was quite interesting. Iona, no mask whatsoever. Amy, fully masked up from that point of view, as she works through that. I'm thinking, oh, interesting, still. Is this going to be a sort of standard norm? Because obviously the other thing with Zoom interviews is we can do them literally wherever you happen to be. And we've had Zoom interviews already with people in their cars. We had an interview with a copywriter yesterday who was in his car in Pennsylvania. We've had people in their cars in Newbury, heading down to London. Is this the way forward? Because, again, the audio, it's not bad.
It's fine. Yeah, I would totally use it going forward. And I think it will be for a while. There's so much equipment in radio. It's a tactile job. Like, you're so close to people that suddenly you're going to have to think about spit shields and pop shields, you know, things like that. So I think also it does, I think, open up people to realize, you know, different guests are more available now. Sometimes it's always the case of, oh no, it has to be this quality, it has to be in this format. But actually, if there's more flexibility, it can open up more opportunity.
Interesting enough, should I name names? No, I won't name names, but I will name the source, Robin Pierce, who's one of our journalistic colleagues in Wales, who writes for Starburst, the world's longest running magazine of science fiction and fantasy.
Starburst, actually, I thought you meant the sweets then.
Sorry?
I thought you were talking about sweets for a second. Starburst.
Yeah, you see, this is, Rachel, it's a long journey to get into my sort of, but we get there. We do get there. That's the important thing. Anyway, yes, no, nothing to do with the sweets that used to be called Opal Fruits. Hence the reason, if you go online, type in Starburst the magazine, as opposed to Starburst, and you just get sweets. She's, I mean, you can combine both, of course, but, you know, so Starburst the magazine. One individual from the Star Trek franchise, won't mention anything else, but because of the convention challenges, went online via Zoom, but fans were offered the opportunity of interconnecting 2 minutes, £400. It's not going to work, is it, really? I mean, you know, no matter how important you might well be, even if Leonard Nimoy came back from the grave, I don't think that's important to actually work through that. So I think, you know, there's a balance in terms of how we're doing this and so on, particularly if you want to get messages out there. So.
Yeah.
What does next week have in store for yourself? Have you got it planned? Are you scheduled? Is it a case of, you know, once I've successfully connected with Alex Levchuk via Zoom, that's it. My life is complete.
Exactly. I haven't got any other than work. At the moment, work. Just work. I'm very much like still in lockdown mode, really. We just haven't done much. Yeah, I've just been quite careful still. So I think I'll just be working. I go for like dog walks with friends and stuff.
Everything is relative. That's the important thing, Rachel.
And taking my time. Yeah. I might consider a haircut.
You don't need
but
it.
But other than that, I don't know if I need it just yet.
Well, it's a way forward. And as we're planning ahead for the next academic year, students obviously getting used to blended learning, online learning and so on, have you any advice for people who might be thinking, I'd like to be what Rachel Abbott actually is. I'd like to go to Westminster or the University of Lincoln. Obviously, other universities are available. What advice would you actually give to students? Would you say go, you know, engage with the whole process? Or given that obviously times are changing, would you say maybe give it a year, take a time out? Or what's the Rachel Abbott thought on that?
What, with corona, with lockdown or just...
On students going off to university in... because I primarily I'm asking because I've got a virtual open day that I'm part of next Friday at the University of Lincoln. I'm thinking... Yeah, but there's part of me saying, surely students actually go to university for the experience, but...
I didn't really go for the... I mean, obviously, I took a lot away from uni, from the experience side, I guess. But I went to a university that was in my hometown, so...
That's London, of course.
Yeah, and so I had a job in the evening, so actually I missed out on a lot of the social side of things. But for me personally, it was... the production and the radio production side of things was... so important. But I think the academic side I found harder, which wasn't radio related. So it depends. I think I was stressed from the academia side.
But overall, would you say I loved it?
Yeah, I loved it. And I think you do learn a lot from like teamwork, and there is definitely a different experience than at college. But I think also the one thing I picked up from uni is it can get competitive, depending on what you do, but radio can be quite competitive. And I think you do just have to always believe in yourself. Like, you're doing the topic because you love it. But don't get shy, you know, put off by other people.
Exactly. And let's face it, you were one of the voices for Scott Mills talking about washing your hands right at the very start of this whole thing. So you've still got that legendary status that works through across the base.
I think if you can, I don't know if this is radio related or just in general, and anything you can do this, but, you know, have conversations with people in the industry, whatever industry it is, yourself, and network whenever you can. Don't get put off by competitiveness with that as well, because you know all your your student friends probably will be doing the same thing. But honestly, it really helped me when I left uni, because I had a foot in the door, but I worked to get there. It wasn't easy, but it means you always, and it does go hand in hand with the course as well. Huh. You learn a different side of it that you're taught on paper.
This is one of the reasons why we need Rachel Abbott, my guide to life. It'll be a series of sort of aspects which we can actually add to our podcast system, which would be great. Rachel, it's been awesome connecting with your good self. Delighted to see you in person. Hopefully it hasn't been too shocking seeing myself in person. You know, although I suppose
No, you're fine, Alex. Right. Don't worry. I'm literally in my weekend clothes. Sorry, I made a noise. I should have muted my computer.
No, we like the beeps and things going through as emails emerge and various other factors. It adds a certain, it's actuality, as you know. People pay for BBC for this to actually have a whole range of things going.
What are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing? Well, next up is doing the podcast for these people, Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, which, as you can see, is the official Middlesbrough fans guide. So it's a Middlesbrough Football Club. I don't know if that, is that coming through, basically, the line that we've actually got there. Yes, good. So we'll be probably sort of moaning. Well, I say I'll be moaning. We'll try and be positive. We'll accentuate the positive of the change of manager that Middlesbrough have actually had and other sort of aspects that we're doing. So we'll be finding out with respect to that. We're also obviously prepping for the New York Book Festival, and you'll be able to hear a whole bunch of authors with respect to that. And I've got two fine students, one undergraduate, one postgraduate, who will be basically doing some online news gathering from that next week. And hopefully, all being well, we'll be connecting with one of my other graduates over in Australia early tomorrow morning. So,
wow.
Exactly. That's Natalie Armstrong, Natasha Armstrong, who I think is taking part in a range of other factors. So, you know, keeping the family together in a kind of virtual sense. I'm talking about the human family here, and obviously continue to battle through. But, you know, the highlight clearly this weekend has been seeing yourself and Bean. You know, it's like, yeah, combination. It's like a combi factor. She's been outrageously wonderful. And I'm delighted we got there in the end. But I've got those last two questions.
Sorry.
No, I've got two questions which I need to ask you, which I've adapted. I've adapted for the whole thing. Yeah. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer, Rachel Abbott?
Yeah.
See, I did that Zoomer.
Definitely have. I like that Zoomer. I have had a great Zoomer.
Exactly. That's the sort of line I've been sort of pushing up gradually. We've been rolling it out. And the next critical question is, will you be kind enough to return in the very near future? And we will either Zoom or audio ourselves in the, well, next week or so. Will you come
Definitely.
Back?
Definitely.
Now, it's interesting that we're looking ahead to the Newark Book Festival in a week's time, because it was only a couple of years ago that Natasha Armstrong was one of our fine contributors there, waving a sword around like nobody's business in the Newark marketplace and doing fantastic stuff. Since then, of course, we've been through a number of subtle changes, but the good thing is the quality and professionalism and joy of Natasha Armstrong remains the same, even though we're now connecting with her via Zoom from Australia. And is it Sydney, Australia, Tesh?
It's Melbourne.
Oh, yeah, so there we are. It's easily confused, really, from that point of view.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Midweek Drive.
I'm very happy to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you know, again, we can work through this, and we'll hopefully be shortly getting a few other Midweek Drive-ettes online as well. So maybe we can almost run the show without music, you know, and do various other bits and pieces as well. This is way forward.
Perfect.
Share with us what you're doing in Melbourne, Australia, as opposed to, well, I like to globetrot wherever COVID-19 goes, really.
Well, yeah, more on that in a second. So I am currently doing a master's degree in teaching, specialising in early childhood. I'm currently on my winter vacation right now. Delightful 9 degrees outside, absolutely freezing.
That's pretty much the same in Britain, so you know, that's all good,
right? Typical English summer, so I might as well just be with you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, so looking to start up again my second semester, hopefully about halfway through this month, but we're just sort of waiting to hear the latest figures and what's going on with COVID, etc. It's all currently being done over Zoom. That's what the university favors here. And when I'm not doing that, I'm teaching English to kids online in Singapore. So quite busy, but
now,
all good.
Certainly, this is something which, again, as science fiction fans and aficionados, we sort of saw happening. I don't think we'd ever anticipated being part of this as a day-to-day way of actually delivering our work and so on. I'm shortly going to be involved with an open day, a virtual open day, which I'm still trying to get my head around in terms of the notions of that. And obviously we're preparing at the University of Lincoln for delivering all of our lectures online in the next academic year, having some limited face-to-face contact because frankly nobody quite knows. I mean, I don't know if you heard the news, but we've recently eased the lockdown in Britain, and in fact the hostelries, public houses and hairdressers have now effectively opened for business. It's interesting looking at the reports that, I don't know, I mean, I think people are so uncertain, and you've got kind of a couple of balance. You've got the fear factor, and then you've got the notion of, if you do go out there, the whole experience is substantially different from anything we were kind of used to, that you almost think, well, is it worth all of that scenario? If you go into certain pubs in London, for instance, you start off by giving your contact details on the track application forms, etc., and I think, really, is that necessarily the best way forward? I mean, I appreciate, you know, I have my mask, I use my mask, I go to studios at Southside Broadcasting wearing the mask and so on, and we'll use that. But what's the vibe in Australia? I mean, because that was a case which seemed to be going well, but unfortunately, New Zealand kind of really have scored so many points. And as you might imagine, I don't know if you heard the interview we did with Jessica Ward, but Isle of Man, 0 cases, all happy, back to hugs and all the rest of the bits and pieces that they've actually had there.
Yeah. Australia was doing well. I mean, we started opening up again on the 1st of June. This was the first opening that was meant to be part of 4 big sort of opening up, getting more and more dramatic as we went. And it seemed to be going well for the first 2 weeks. Everyone seemed to be happy. People were being sensible. And then it got to about the 3rd week. And there were some demonstrations for, obviously, recently topical, the Black Lives Matter. And they're not quite sure how it happened, but somebody seems to have brought the infection, sadly, to one of the demonstrations in the city. And it sort of spread out from there, allegedly, and it's now been sort of breaking out in waves over Melbourne. And as of last night, actually, my postcode went into a hard lockdown. So 9 apartment blocks now, public housing blocks have been completely shut off, including 1,000 residents. They're just having to stay inside. We're being told to stay inside and not go anywhere for the next 5 days. So we'll see what happens. Yesterday was the highest ever case numbers we've had in Melbourne. It was 108 cases. It's now down to 74 today. So we're just seeing what happens on a day-by-day basis. But actually, we're getting, although 108 cases doesn't sound very much when you look at what's coming out of Texas and Houston in particular, it's quite nasty, I believe. It's over double what we were having at what we thought was our peak.
And yet Donald Trump basically says it's just a minor infection and 99% of the cases are completely harmless. So very, very strange, really. There we are.
Yeah, but the trouble is, Alex, we're testing them. If we don't test them, we don't get any figures. So
you see, that's why you are one of the finest graduates of the University of Lincoln ever. You see, you can identify these things and go straight for those logical challenges. I knew those Origins of Modern Britain sessions were not wasted, or as it's manifested its new sense, histories of journalism, which again will probably be delivered online. So who knows what will be happening with respect to that? But still, we'll be hopefully working through that. You've just said you're in lockdown. Is it a case of, are you allowed an hour's exercise? Is it the same kind of lockdown as in Britain? Or is it a case of you can't even leave your house?
For the, certainly for the people in the 9 housing blocks, there's 500 police officers enforcing them not leaving the building at all. They're advising residents in the surrounding area in my postcode in North Melbourne, which is where I'm currently living. So if you hear a helicopter, by the way, there's a hospital across the way. So that's what the noise is. They're advising us not to go out at all. They're advising us they're advising people so far to take tests. They may make it mandatory for everyone to just blanket take a test. They're going to see how it goes over the next couple of days. But yeah, we're not meant to be going outside at all. So we're just sort of exercising on the switch and the wonderful world.
The lockdown we had in Britain, clearly, yes, it was a hard lockdown, but at the same time, it was a case of you're allowed 1 hour out for exercise individually or to purchase essentials and so on. Now, again, I'm presuming not everybody in Melbourne actually has access to a computer. Maybe not everybody actually has access to a way of actually ordering in food and such like. What is the scenario with respect to that? Do you get food parcels delivered? Do you order out? Do you actually say, well, I'm just going to go on a 40-day fast?
Maybe for health benefits. No, don't do that. So the Red Cross have organised a sort of care package system for essentials and baby formulas, pet foods, that sort of thing. Money is currently being given to particularly the people in the hard lockdowns. The government has arranged 2 weeks rent-free for those people. And they're also giving money for the next month. So we're going to see whether or not that will continue. We'll have to see what Mr. Andrews, decides to do in terms of that. We're just taking it by a day-by-day basis.
Do people look at the situation that was established in New Zealand and say, well, why couldn't we actually look at that? I mean, is there criticism of the government or is it a case of, well, you know, nobody knows, we're all in uncharted territories and other wonderful cliches we've come to appreciate over the last few months?
Well, it's quite interesting because up until this point, we were sort of all patting ourselves on the back, like job well done. Oh, we've got no new cases. To be honest, Sydney kind of took the worst brunt of it in April. So we were sort of all sat in Melbourne looking pretty going, oh, isn't this wonderful? Whereas now it's sort of bled up here. But I don't think he's been sort of, I don't think our Premier's sort of being looked at negatively because of it. I think he's being quite effective and decisive, I think, with it. Or that's the current mood. Whether or not that will continue over a period of time, depending on how the case figures go. But the minute people seem to be wanting to cooperate, we've had 1,000 reserves come down from the main army, the national army come down to help deal with the situation, but that's not really enforcing it. That's more sort of helping with like the track and sort of the managing of, you know, tracing where the cases go, that sort of thing, as opposed to enforcing anything.
Well, it certainly sounds as though you're, if not necessarily at the heart of matters, certainly experiencing interesting times. And thankfully, through this particular telecommunications modem, we can actually at least relate and keep you on board as a midweek drivette. From the teaching point of view, Tash, has it been a case of a sharp learning curve? Has it been a case of getting used to the whole notion of online material? Just talk us through your experiences within that.
Yeah, so I started using Zoom end of March. That was when my university shut down face-to-face and it was all done online. I then got a job sort of end of April. I didn't actually apply for the job. My friends put me up for it, but it just happened to be on Zoom and teaching on Zoom. I've never actually used Zoom before Corona happened. It seems to have, I don't think anyone, many people have.
This is just my third week, actually. So, you know, working through a whole process of things from that point of view. But yes, I mean, one wishes one had shares in the company, shall we say.
Yes. So yeah, it was quite a few, it was quite a steep learning curve to start with, certainly in terms of managing the buttons, you know, especially when you're dealing with young children. I'm teaching sort of 6 and 7 year olds, and they sort of like to press buttons.
Aren't they the best people to be able to deal with this computer technology? Shouldn't they be teaching you?
Right, exactly. It'd be far, some of the things they can do is amazing. But I do pity friends back in Japan who are actually having a much worse time of it than myself. They're actually having to do things called hybrid lessons currently at the company I used to work for. So they're teaching people in lessons. Normal students are coming in for lessons. And then they're also teaching people online simultaneously. So they're then having to stop their lessons for technical issues whilst live trying to teach students. And apparently it's just a complete nightmare. So I'm quite glad I've got nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, steep learning curve, but getting used to it now.
Well, as I say, the key thing, though nobody was expecting this in 2020, is we keep on going. That's the important thing. Keep on keeping on. So the last time I was actually at the Lincoln campus is now, well, March 23rd, March 24th. So likely to be back hopefully in September. And we'll see how things develop from there, really, in terms of that. But, you know, the Midweek Drive continues. So we've relaunched that, repackaged this. We're delighted that you've come back to join us today. And it leads us to the two classical questions, which have been slightly adapted, as I'm sure you appreciate. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
Oh, lovely. Yes, I have. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think I really should trademark or copyright Zoom. I mean, if the City of Liverpool can try and copyright Liverpool, I should actually try and copyright Zoom and learn from that. But we'll have to look at that. So will you return?
Definitely. Just send me a link.
There you go, you see. All sorted to do. And indeed, let's try, because we're having our... I've had three connections simultaneously with Zoom. We're going to accelerate that slightly on Wednesday by attempting to connect Richard Fitzwilliams, Ben Lewis, Graham Harper, Tessa Start, and myself. So it could be a five-way to talk about the future of cinema post COVID, of course, because, I mean, the cinemas have technically opened as well, or some cinemas have actually opened. The question that remains at the back of one's mind, of course, is this movie worth dying for? I don't know. Or potentially dying for. And it's a challenge because certainly, I mean, what are your thoughts, very sort of wrapping that up in terms of cinema and entertainments, which we kind of took for granted. We kind of took as a matter of course that you'd go and see the latest blockbuster. Obviously, the movie industry itself has put back Tenet, Wonder Woman 84, all of these kind of things keep going back and back and so on. I mean, any particular thoughts?
I'm personally missing cinema a lot. Both me and my partner are, we're big cinema goers. We're the kind of people that got up, you know, to go out at midnight to watch the Captain America movies when they were launched. And yes.
Won't we'll be doing that in the near future.
No.
Unless, of course, you get it streamed. Yes. Unless, of course, you get it streamed directly to the screens and so on, and invest in home entertainment systems.
Well, this is it. You see, we're quite in a lucky position because Oren's parents live in America. And so we've sort of
been... In Texas.
Yeah, Houston, in Texas.
You know, great. Yeah. You know, if ever you actually wanted to have some key sort of lines in terms of, well, you know, it could always be worse. We could be living in Texas. Classic line.
Really bad out there. Yeah, so we've been sort of pillaging off of them. So we've been quite lucky that we've actually had that access to that sort of entertainment. But it's not the same watching a movie at home as a cinema. I don't think so. I think it's an experience going to the cinema. So I would very much like to go back to the cinema. I don't see that being a luxury for me. We're talking maybe December, I think maybe January.
So the summer for Australians, basically.
Yeah, right. Escape the 40-degree heat.
Yeah. Well, we finally managed to slowly but surely put together the Midweek Drive Morning Edition team. Ben Lewis, obviously, has been a regular contributor now for the last few weeks, and he's been making his predictions and doing fine stuff from that point of view. But of course, there are people who would say, yes, that's all very well having Ben back, having Richard Fitzwilliams back and so on, having Gabriella Peralta back. Great. But what about Emma Stone? Yes, indeed. What about Emma Stone? Worry no more. Emma is back with us now. How are you, Emma?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, well, again, I'm fine. Given all of the challenges that we've been faced with, given the fact that we are socially distanced now by a good 130 miles, so that's safe, all is well. And this new technology that we're using more and more for the Midweek Drive. We started off the programmes again back in the end of May, early June, doing Saturday recordings. But we thought we'd actually just get everything sorted. Then, of course, exploring Zoom, I thought, let's go with this. And of course, you're going to be one of the prime reporters and reviewers at next weekend's New York Book Festival.
Yes, yeah, I'm really excited about it. They've got some really great events going on. And I love reading. I've got my own book blog, love literature, all that sort of stuff. So I'm really excited to go to some of those events, yeah.
Well, again, I'm particularly, as I say, looking forward to it. Sadly, I can't, despite the technology, I'm unable to split myself into more than one particular person. So I'm doing something else actually over the weekend. But I think Leanne Moden's going to be a cracking event. Of course, she's doing two events, one of which is at a place that we were both at together with, of course, the fabulous Kira Olsbrook. Kira, how are you? I'm sending this message out to you.
Yes. Connect she's with well. I talk to her sometimes. She's
good.
Well.
Tell her she's also invited to join the Midweek Drive team, obviously. But that was the Carriages Cafe event back in December.
Of course. Yes. Yeah, lovely venue that. Yeah, really nice there.
Yeah, very good indeed. David Fox, in fact, I think it was November last year. Little did we realise then, we were probably taking our lives into our hands in many ways, the sort of number of people that we actually had there. Never mind. We've seen it through, and don't panic, actually. The whole COVID thing didn't start until well after that was transpired, so we're all right for that. But it is going to be socially distanced. I presume you'll be still observing from an online capacity, or is it a case of, oh, what the hey, I'm going to go there?
I'd love to go there, but no, be all online, I think, from my point of view. But yeah,
Gothic obviously getting a big message in terms of some of the key things that are being mentioned as far as the Gothic literature is concerned. And again, I have to say hats off and kudos and bouquets to Sarah Bullimore for producing some sensational events. I was looking forward to the fall of the House of Byron, Emily Brand, of course, there. And we've also done features with Dressed for War with Julie Summers, which draws, we defined it in the interview really as a kind of combination of a World War II version of The Devil Wears Prada. After a fashion, really. So good to actually check out from that point of view. And of course, there's Giles Christian and Camelot. What are the key things that you're looking forward to in terms of the event itself, which you think, yeah, newyorkbookfestival.org.uk, I'm definitely going to be there for this.
I'm really looking forward to the Gothic fiction one. It's the panel with Jess Kidd. Rhiannon Ward.
Francine Toon and Rhiannon Ward, as we said, are two for the price of one, because it's Sarah Ward, writer from Derbyshire, and then of course Rhiannon Ward, writer of the upcoming The Quickening.
Yeah, but I just love Gothic fiction, any of that kind of stuff. I'm also going to the Crime Through the Ages one as well. That's another favourite genre of mine. I love a good crime read.
Absolutely. That in fact is the first event on Saturday the 11th of July, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Tickets I think just about still available, but you're gonna have to move quickly because although people are saying, oh, it's online, I can just sign in and do it anytime, you do need to actually register. So I just want to put that out there in terms of the event itself. So how's it been for yourself, Emma, since last we spoke? Of course, I mean, I think we did I think it was a Thursday morning Midweek Drive back in March. It would have been, and then whoosh, suddenly we go into this 3-month suspension and so on. Yeah, I mean, you're close to one of the key workers, because presumably you were working for that well-known supermarket which begins in T and ends in O.
I was, still am. My shifts picked up. I'm doing over double my hours. Went a little bit mad at the start, I think, when everybody kind of went a bit crazy for the toilet rolls and the pasta and all the shelves were empty. Yeah, so I've been picking online orders, so it went a bit hectic.
Yeah, I've been hearing the term bog roll bandits was once bandied about. I thought, no, don't. And as you can see, I'm fully equipped because I'm now actually demonstrating the mask, which is actually there, so that as and when we do ever resume, then clearly communications and PR students will have to probably get used to this because it might well be sort of the new look for on-campus thing.
It might well be.
Well, even though, as I've sort of mentioned, we've had a range of images from the campus which says that socially distanced measures are installed, lots of hand sanitizers there, so that when you guys as students return in October, it's going to be a whole brave new world. I mean, I don't know, have you taken the opportunity to visit campus or visit Lincoln? I mean, and has it picked up as yet? I mean, was it a case of I'm going to be first out of the door to start getting, you know, the local hostelries opened, etc.? What were you doing yesterday when, of course, it was that launch, which many people said, including myself, yeah, no, I don't think so.
I am the same as you with that. I thought, yeah, okay, but not for me. I'm not going to be one of the first out there. No, I was at work and then at home. And no, I wasn't in line. I think I'll wait for a bit. Wait for it to be maybe a little bit less hectic. And
clearly, because there's such a variation of this, I mean, we were speaking earlier today, and you hopefully already heard the interview that we actually did with a graduate of the University of Lincoln and now a resident in Melbourne, Australia, Natasha, who is actually in lockdown at this moment because Melbourne has literally just had another huge spike. So they put 200,000 people in lockdown. Now, this obviously in Australia, as Natasha Armstrong actually said, was an area that hadn't really been impacted or affected. They thought all was going to be well. And then suddenly, you know, the emergency flares go up and so on. So I think there is that huge uncertainty because ultimately, it's a cliche, but nobody knows.
No, you really don't. Just kind of, just have to do your best, don't you, really? Just follow the rules and hope for the best, really. Yeah.
Sage words of a lass whose father supports Manchester City, but sadly she goes the other way and looks to support... Yeah. Tottenham Hotspurs. It could have been worse. Never mind.
It could have been worse. My dad probably would have disowned me if I went as a Man United fan.
Yeah, well, that has often crossed my mind,
safe.
But I thought
I'd as a Spurs fan.
Exactly. I'd waited to be going through this. At present, it looks as though this is probably going to be, and I hate this phrase, the new normal when it comes to actually featuring yourself on the Midweek Drive and so on. But having said that, it's fantastic that you're back. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
I have, yes. It's been really interesting.
Marvellous. Well, I'm sure Robin Pearce might sort of comment and do a critical analysis. Because, of course, what we start doing this coming week is we're exploring, and I've tried this thing with two or three before, maybe having that sense of combination. So who knows, maybe we can, in the virtual sense, share the airwaves or at least do a 20, 25-minute piece with yourself, with Ben Lewis, with Kira, with other folk, and actually coordinate on that basis, assuming we obviously mute our microphones when we need to, or open them up when we need to, or just keep quiet, or do all the rest of the etiquette that you actually get in these online meetings, or just wave the virtual hand. I've got a little test, because there's only one Midweek Drive out who's actually got this spot on so far. I wonder, would you be the second? Can you remember the name of this little fellow? Holding him up now to the camera.
Spike, isn't it?
Yeah, there you are. Eloise will be sort of giving a little fist pump of joy there. She was devastated when Ben referred to him as Spud.
Oh, no, Spud?
No, that makes no sense. Admittedly, we didn't have the video connection to actually work through at that stage. It was an audio thing, but even so. But you actually join Eloise and indeed our fantastic now vet, now she's fully qualified, Zoe Jameson, in terms of correctly identifying the name of our mascot. So, well done.
Relief. Yes.
And I know you'll be keen to, obviously, as this is being recorded on the Sunday, and probably will be released on the Sunday because it'll be available there. So you might be listening to this and downloading it actually live. I know you'll be keen to watch Southampton versus Man City on the BBC because that's obviously going to be something which I know you're sort of keen to sort of follow through for that.
Yes, I am. I'm going around to my dad's for that later.
Well, there you go. With, of course, as I say, the socially distanced sky blue masks. She's very good.
Yes.
Absolutely.